Senator Lamar Alexander is unfortunately in the midst of this debacle, and the Senate will apparently vote later this week. Senator Lamar Alexander on our Newsmakers line. Senator, good to have you back with us.
Good morning, Steve.
Can this thing get any more weird?
Well, I don't want to say no. The trouble is, I thought Alan Dershowitz's article in the Journal, Wall Street Journal, yesterday was awfully good. It goes to a fundamental issue of fairness. I'm sure there's nothing worse in a person's life than a sexual assault, unless it's being accused of a sexual assault that you didn't do in front of 100 million people. And that's what we've got here. And it's destroying Judge Kavanaugh's reputation, which up until 10 days ago was among the best in the country.
And you've got increasingly what the media will report. We've got Jane Doe anonymous letters that Kamala Harris is now flinging about. We got this alleged bar scuffle 33 years ago where he's accused of throwing some ice at a guy. I don't think it was one of those big blocks. You know, it was probably ice in a drink. So there is no rational, fair basis for even what the media is reporting.
No, well, there have always been reports. You know, what people are overlooking is Judge Kavanaugh has been subjected to 6 background checks over the last 26 years in connection with the various federal positions he has. And those background checks are extensive. The FBI goes in and says, do you know Steve Gill? What do you think about Steve Gill? And they ask 100 questions about Steve Gill. And they ask questions like, does he live beyond his means? And I know when I was going through the process, one of my friends answered, well, don't we all? But there are all sorts of questions, and it picks up all sorts of rumors, all sorts of hearsay. So what's different today is that suddenly all this stuff is in the social media within seconds, and people tend to believe it.
The Senate is moving ahead in a bipartisan way. It doesn't get much attention. I mean, huge news this week that would have normally occupied front pages. A new deal with Canada and Mexico that apparently will resolve the tariff disputes with those countries. And then the opioid issue that has been captivating and hurting people for a long time. The Senate, with your legislation, is going to move ahead today to deal with that.
Yeah, we believe today or tomorrow, but we're ready to send the bill to the president. And this is the most serious public health epidemic that our country has, and it's very difficult to deal with. Everybody says, well, we should have a moonshot for opioids, and the problem is we just can't give this problem to a federal agency and say, go do it in 10 years. What we've got is something that has to be done in every community, doctor's office, families, et cetera. So we've got proposals from 72 different senators, everything from stopping fentanyl at the border from coming through the mail. This is the stuff that's 50 times more powerful than opioid pills. There's been a 70% increase in deaths from fentanyl, to trying to find a non-addictive pain medicine. You know, there are lots of people listening to you right now who live with pain, and they need something, and we need to find something that's not addictive. Also, one other example is to allow the Food and Drug Administration to tell manufacturers you can only sell opioid pills in a blister pack of 3, 5, or 7, so you don't have a bottle of 60 and then take it home and put it in your bathroom medicine cabinet, and then your teenager gets it, takes it to a party, and somebody's dead the next morning.
The challenge is to find that balance, isn't it, Senator, between people who need the medication, people who need the painkiller, and those that are abusing it. I mean, I hate it when I go into the pharmacy and I have to show my photo ID to buy cold medicine because they think I'm going to run out and somehow figure out how to make meth.
Well, no, you're right. That's the balance. And we'll probably overreact here because the opioid problem is so damaging. You know, a third of the babies born in the neonatal center in Johnson City are withdrawing from opioids because their mother's addicted. We'll probably go too far, and then people who are living with intense pain won't be able to get medicine that they need. So it is a matter of balance, but it's a terrible problem, and it's in every community in Tennessee.
And it's this kind of bipartisanship that should, you know, be being heralded in the fact that you've got both Democrats and Republicans joining in this legislation. Already in the House has passed. But yet you've got the hypocrisy of politics. You've got Chuck Schumer spending literally millions of dollars attacking Marsha Blackburn on the opioid legislation that she co-sponsored along with Democrats and Republicans that Chuck Schumer voted for, and yet he's running these attack ads against Marsha Blackburn with his super PAC.
Yeah, that's not fair. You and I talked about that the other day. I mean, that was a bill that passed that had the support of President Obama. Everybody supported it, and it had unintended consequences. And the Congress has been working in a bipartisan way since then to fix it. That's not Marsha's fault. She's vice chairman of the committee that produced the current bill that we're voting on this week in the Senate. We'll send to the president that really, Senator McConnell's called it landmark legislation in dealing with opioids.
We talked a little bit the other day also about the tariffs and the trade war. It appears with this new, it's not NAFTA, it's a new name. The president, is, as you know, is great at branding. He gets marketing, so he's going to rename NAFTA. But they've also really, really changed the deal, both with Mexico and Canada. Do you think this is a good deal?
Well, let's see. I mean, I like the idea of updating NAFTA. It's been since 1994. Things have changed. Internet, for example. And there's some inequities in there. Dairy items, for example, between the United States and Canada, which seems to be changed. But the one thing I'm looking for is, does this deal also get rid of the steel and aluminum tariffs between Canada and Mexico? The zero tariff policy, which the president says he supports, is what the North American Free Trade Agreement brought in. It allowed Nissan, for example, to make cars at a competitive price. It won a competition to build a Rogue in Smyrna instead of South Korea or Japan, because it could build a high quality car at a low cost. So I want to make sure that this new agreement also gets rid of the steel and aluminum tariffs, at least with Mexico and Canada.
Again, with all the chaos and media coverage on Kavanaugh, another issue that's being, I think, overlooked is the continued progress of North and South Korea reaching an accord. Again, the president doesn't get a lot of credit for all this good stuff that's going on because there's so much attention to this story or that story or the attack smears on him and his appointees. And yet you've got North Korea and South Korea, again, continuing to move in a way that 6 months ago nobody would have expected.
Well, that is encouraging, and we ought to stay realistic about that. But apparently he's helped stir the pot in a way that has caused them to want to come together, and that's probably the single most important thing that could happen. I tell my friends, watch Washington, D.C. as if it were a split-screen television. You know, on one side, you've got all the disasters of the day, and on the other side, you've got the opioid bills, what's happening in North Korea, the songwriters legislation, first time in a generation, the tax cuts, fewer regulations. A lot's really getting done here. We've got a bill coming up in committee today that will get rid of half the maintenance backlog of the national parks. Now, that's not a particular, I mean, that's a bipartisan proposal, but I think almost every single Tennessean would like to go to the Smoky Mountains and find that the bathroom worked and the leaf and roof didn't leak. So that's on the other side of the TV screen, and some of us are working on those things.
And again, doesn't get the attention. You've got that list in your pocket you showed us the other day of what the Republicans in control of the Congress and the Senate and the White House have done, and yet that list isn't getting much attention.
No, and I've suggested to the president, and he's doing a better job of it, and I said, Mr. President, just focus on those things. Forget the other stuff, because if an administration had the biggest tax reduction in 31 years, got rid of more regulations than anybody in a long time, appointed one-fourth of the federal judges as conservative judges who followed the Constitution, just taxes, regulations, and judges would be enough for most presidents in a four-year term. So that's given us the best economy we've had, certainly in Tennessee and almost every part of the country, and 30 years.
And you will see that play big next year. Again, when we get towards 20, we got to get past these midterms, but when we get to 20, those new benefits of the tax cuts are going to start to be felt more by regular folks. They're already feeling it in terms of job growth and wage growth and everything else, but they're going to feel that. Is the vote going to happen Friday on Kavanaugh? I'm not going to ask you to predict how it turns out. That'd be too much. But do you think the vote actually happens on Friday?
Well, Senator McConnell is determined to have the vote this week. So we'll get the FBI report back. Remember, this will be the seventh FBI look at Judge Kavanaugh over the last 26 years. We'll see if it says what it says before. We'll have a day or two to read it, and then we'll vote. And so, yes, I believe the vote will be this week sometime. Maybe Friday or Saturday, but it'll be this week.
Senator Lamont Alexander, good to have you with us. You're a yes, by the way, on confirmation of Kavanaugh. You've said that before. And you're looking at his record and the lack of corroboration in the attacks. That's the way justice should work. How poor of us to apply rules and fairness and justice. You have a great one, Senator. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you, Steve. Nice to talk to you.
Senator Ma Alexander with us. We'll be right back with more of the Tennessee Star Report.